Hi, welcome to The Pipeline, all things CD and DevOps podcast by the CD Foundation. I am your host, Jacqueline Salinas, Director of Ecosystem and Community Development. Thank you so much for joining us. It's episode 14 of season 2, and today we are doing a CDCon 2021 sneak preview. I am joined by Sharon Alvarez from Disney. Sharon Alvarez works as an Agile and DevOps Transformation Manager at the Walt Disney Company. She has global work experience leading product, organizational, and cultural transformation across technology, aerospace, automotive, finance, and telecom industries within various global Fortune 500 companies in Europe and the US. She introduced lean product and software development practices and led significant lean and DevOps practices adoption at Amazon.com, Expedia, Microsoft, and T-Mobile. Trainer, speaker, and writer, she is a news reporter and editor at InfoQ, an ambassador at the CD Foundation and the DevOps Institute. She speaks at the DevOps Enterprise Summit 2019-2020-2021, All Day DevOps 2019-2020, DevOps World, DevOps Online, SDLF by CloudBees, GitLab Commit, etc. Sharon published her Master's of Philosophy and PhD thesis with the French National Center for Scientific Research. I want to give a warm welcome to Sharon, who is here to talk about her session in CDCon, Accelerate Your Culture of Innovation with Everyday Inclusion. So this topic is based on 10 years of research on cognitive diversity and innovation. We know that safer and more inclusive DevOps teams perform and innovate better. Companies that have more diverse management drive 19% higher revenue due to greater innovation. Racially diverse teams outperform non-diverse ones by 35%. And 67% of job seekers look for evidence of inclusion and equality programs when considering a new company. Yet, leaders still struggle to create an inclusive environment for their teams. In this episode, Sharon will share effective and actionable practices to help DevOps teams and managers embody inclusion through everyday interaction and collaboration. In Sharon's talk, she will focus and share the effective and actionable practices that help DevOps teams and managers embody inclusion through everyday interaction and collaboration. But before we dive into our main topic, we are going to start off with the segment, My DevOps Journey. Can you share with us what your DevOps journey has been like?
Yeah. Hi, Jacqueline. It's great to be here today. And thank you so much for having me at this podcast and at the CDCon, actually. I'm very, very excited. So it's a really great question. You know, I think reflecting back on my DevOps journey, I haven't thought about it for a little while. So I really started roughly 10 years ago. I am located in Seattle, where I've been working with a really large Fortune 500 companies. And I started 10 years ago as an Agile Technical Program Manager and Scrum Master at Amazon, at companies like Amazon and then Microsoft. And I think that's when I was exposed for the first time to DevOps, and I started working with teams that were transitioning and adopting DevOps culture and technology. And because they were at the beginning of their transition from a hybrid waterfall and Agile to DevOps, you know, they faced some challenges, the challenges that we know, such as breaking down silos, increasing collaboration, but also exploring the technology pipeline, right? The continuous delivery tooling. So I focused a lot on those aspects, actually. And progressively, I got very interested in the DevOps cultural pillars such as breaking functional silos, collaboration, practices to increase collaboration across teams, but also across the organization. I got interested into inclusion and Westroom generative leadership, automation, and so on. So all of those things, I truly, truly believe in the value, the benefits of DevOps, the culture, and the technology. And I started being engaged more with the DevOps community. And about 5 years ago, I really started speaking at conferences, such as CDCon, in fact, today. And I started also talking about DevOps transformations, but also cultural transformations. Voila. So in the last few years, I worked at T-Mobile, where I was a DevOps and Agile transformation coach. And today I'm working at Disney, where I'm actually operating more as a value stream agile and DevOps coach. So I help the value stream, set up the value stream, help the teams understand their state of delivery and help them get better in their delivery. Voila.
Wow, Sharon, that's an incredible journey. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. So today's main topic is a sneak peek of Sharon's talk at CDCon 2021, which is Accelerate Your Culture of Innovation with Everyday Inclusion. So Sharon, can you give us a summary of your talk?
Yeah, absolutely. First, what I want to do is look at the research data that we have gathered in the last 10, 15 years to better understand the impact of diversity on innovation. So the talk is a lot about the relationship between diversity, inclusion, and innovation, and how teams and managers and leaders can actually introduce those practices in their day-to-day interaction and day-to-day work. So first, I'm going to look at the data and share some really interesting numbers. And then I'll describe practices that anyone, you know, any participant of the CDCon will be able to deploy right after the conference in their own organizations and within their own teams. So I will deep dive into those practices. And those practices are around team practices, managers' practices, and also organizational practices. So I also cover the definition of inclusion. That's really important because there's so many different definitions. And also, we've been focusing a lot on diversity, but there's a lot of important literature conversation happening around inclusion and equity. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And the relationship, of course, between inclusion, equity, and innovation and creativity. So I also cover the recipe for a sustainable inclusion through all of those practices. And I want to share resources. I'm not an HR professional, so that's really important because one of the objectives of my talk is to help people understand that it's everybody's responsibilities. You know, inclusion needs to happen every day, but it needs to be embodied and lived by everybody in an organization. So it's not just HR or manager's responsibility. And by doing this talk, I actually want to model, you know, that anybody can talk about inclusion and diversity at conferences or within their own organization. So voilà, that's in a nutshell the objective of my talk and the topic that I will be covering.
Thank you. I am so looking forward to participating in that session. Sharon, can you tell us why inclusivity is important for innovation in order to thrive?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. Actually, it's something that's really was a top of mind for me. So we know that in the last 15 years, there's been a lot of literature around diversity, like I mentioned. And we know that diversity increases innovation. There's been several research and some published by Harvard Business Review. But organizations have been focusing more on hiring diversity and not so much on including them with equity, actually with equitable practices. So, and you probably heard that statement from Verna Myers, who was VP at Netflix, VP Diversity and Inclusion at Netflix. She mentioned that diversity is being invited to the party and inclusion is being asked to dance. So in the last 5-7 years, we've been focusing more on inclusion. And there has been research that have shown that inclusion is the trigger that drives innovation. It's not hiring diversity. It's really including that diversity in the organization. And so the way I describe it is diversity is being invited to the party, and inclusion is being asked to design the party. So that's how I look at it. So in the last few years, we've saw that cognitively diverse cultures outperform by 35% teams that are not cognitively diverse. So 35% is huge, right? And then we saw that gender equal organizations earn 41% more revenue than organizations that are not gender equal. And then we also saw that inclusive teams outperform non-inclusive team by 80%, by a staggering 80%. That's huge, right? So I will look at all of that data and show the relationship between inclusiveness and innovation. And so we can see that inclusiveness and equity, teams that practice inclusion and equity generate more unlikely ideas. And that's the reason why it triggers innovation, creativity. And they develop products that are tailored to a diverse customer base, right? And the one thing that they do, they also challenge non-diverse teams because, you know, they ask questions, they come from a different background, they offer a different perspective. So for all of that reason, we can see that there's a real relationship between inclusion and innovation.
Wow, those are some incredible data points, Sharon. I can't believe how diversity and inclusion can have such an impact on revenue, on outcomes, on, you know, that's really awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Why do you think leaders struggle with creating an inclusive environment for their teams?
Yeah, I love that question. It's a really, really good question. I think the first thing is it's never been among the top priorities. I can make a relationship with another talk I'm preparing for the DevOps Enterprise Summit. It's called, and actually you and I were on a panel discussion at the Software Delivery Leadership Forum not so long ago. It was about a month ago when we talked about DevOps culture, right? And right. One thing that we talked about is importance. The reason why DevOps culture is so difficult today, and it's the same with inclusion, is because we don't prioritize it. And my recommendation, my approach is treat DevOps culture and treat inclusion as a product, you know. And what that means is if it's a product, if it's an important initiative within your organization, you're going to treat it as a strategic initiative and as a strategic goal for the entire organization. And I suggest to put it in the product backlog and to work on it. So I think it's the same for inclusion. It's still not seen as one of the top priority for organizations. So leaders delegate as well. So executives tend to delegate that to HR organizations, but it should really be owned by executives and by everybody within an organization. Now, it's not just, you know, the affair of HR. So the other thing, we're not very much trained in how to develop an inclusive culture. So it's not because it's important, it's not because we talk a lot about it, that everybody knows what it is and that we know how to foster an inclusive culture. So we're still working on figuring out the different aspects of unconscious bias, for example. There's still research done about it. And there are some companies that are ahead of the curve, such as Microsoft. And we're still figuring out, we're still trying to discover the importance of psychological safety and the relationship between psychological safety and innovation within teams, right? So there's a lot of figuring out that's still happening. And so that's why it's so difficult to create that environment. So I think it's important to first, some of the suggestions I have, it's important to first invest in clear programs that have objectives that are clearly stated and that we can track, you know, through progress. And then it can be helpful to bring in external expertise to help design and implement these inclusive programs. And I've seen that in a lot of companies I worked at. So I want to give an example at T-Mobile. Well, the CIO did, he actually included inclusion as one of the five principles that were defining the annual strategy of the organization. So it was done by the CIO and his executive team, so which shows how important it was for this organization, product and technology at T-Mobile. And he made it clear that it was one of the top five principles. There were five principles, some around customer experience, some around technology, security, and there was one around inclusiveness. And so all of the teams were working, obviously, in developing their objective for the year, but they made sure that they embedded inclusiveness within those objectives. So I think that's one way to make it a priority.
Let's dive a little bit deeper into what's the advantage of knowing how to create these inclusive environments for teams? What are some of the benefits that we would see?
Yeah.
Or that you've seen in your experience?
Yeah, so there are various benefits, and I want to focus maybe on the DevOps team's benefits, because that's going to be the, you know, what probably our audience will be looking for and the purpose of this talk. So when we invest in those programs, we can see that teams are working in more collaboratively. They are more inclusive. They understand the importance of keeping our unconscious bias in check. So they are more, it's actually driving a little bit of more self-awareness about how we behave towards each other. It's also driving some self-awareness about microaggression within the enterprise, actually. So I've seen a lot of benefits like that. And the practices in particular that I'm introducing, that I'm going to be talking about, team practices, they focus a lot on that, on self-awareness among the different team members. So that's the first thing, the first benefit. And then they collaborate better. They feel psychologically more safe to share their ideas. So it drives more ideas, it drives more better conversations, and it leads to greater products, actually. It leads to greater quality products. It also contributes to decreasing the lead time, because when we open up and we talk openly about difficult topics such as, you know, diversity, inclusion, psychological safety, it actually increases our ability to communicate, to cooperate with each other, and to make decisions faster. So it definitely increases the decision velocity of the teams, which leads to decreasing the lead time of the way they work. So those are some of the benefits that I see at the team level. And like I mentioned earlier, it also allows teams to develop products, to think about features and products that are tailored to a global customer base. So we think more broader. We don't think just about, you know, serving a specific customer base. So we think about women in particular. We think about products. What kind of product do women would prefer to have? What kind of car would they be more comfortable driving, and so on? So it definitely increases the creativity. It helps them develop better products.
Thank you. What do we expect to learn in your session, Accelerate Your Culture of Innovation with Everyday Inclusion? Let's just summarize it now and invite the audience to join.
Yeah, so the first thing that I'm going to be talking about is the data. So the data is very interesting, and I'm going to be referring to some talks that were actually very, very interesting. There's a talk that was done by Pivotal Lab at that time. Now it was acquired by VMware. It's a fantastic talk that I highly recommend watching. I'm going to be talking about data from the book Accelerate from Nicole Forsgren. And then I'm going to introduce a recipe to drive a sustainable, inclusive culture. And there's a recipe, you know, that we it's not just about hiring diversity, it's also about working that diversity at work and feel valued. And then I will deep dive into some key practices that I introduced in some organizations, so team practices and managers' practices that anyone can take back within their organizations. And those practices are to foster an inclusive, to help teams be self-aware about their bias and drive better cohesion and cooperation. So a great that I recommend bringing back to your organization. And one thing that I'm talking about as well is, like I mentioned, I'm not an HR professional. So I will share talks that were done by people that are not HR professionals at really prestigious conferences to show everybody that anyone can and should talk about inclusion and diversity at the workplace. And if we all talk about it, you know, we can make it safer to talk about it, and we can share practices, we can cross-pollinate within different organizations. And the last thing I want to mention is we know that the vast majority of managers and executives are still men. So one of the objectives and purpose of this talk is to have to influence them. I hope that they will be, you know, interested in talking about at conferences about the practices that they deploy within their organizations. Because the vast majority of talks are done by women or people from diverse background. And we'd like to see more people managers and men talk about diversity and what they do within their organizations, actually. So that's, in a nutshell, what I'd be talking about.
Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for joining us today. It was great to learn more about what to expect at your talk, which is going to happen on Thursday, June 24th at 3:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's great to have you on. Always such a pleasure to learn so much from you and what you're also trying to share with the community.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. It was great doing this podcast with you. Always great connecting with you. Thank you. We'll be right back.